We're turning in our Bibles to the New Testament, the book of Acts and the chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and we're going to start our reading at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Amen. Ending our reading there at verse 11. And we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Are you a good sleeper? I'm sure if I went round you, I would get a variety of answers to that question. Well, I want to tell you that Peter was a good sleeper. Peter had every right to sleep because the Bible says the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. And if you're a child of God, then you can pray that the Lord will give his beloved sleep. And the psalmist sometimes waked up at night, and he could say, as he records in one of his psalms, that even his meditation of the Lord in the night watches was sweet unto him. And so either way, we can enjoy the Lord's blessing by having sleep, or we can enjoy the Lord's presence by meditating upon his word. Peter had a good sleep that night in the prison cell. Peter's sleeping in this condemned cell was before his execution, just the night before Herod intended to bring him forth to show him to the people and to execute him on the block. And I believe his good night's sleep was the result of his confidence in the Lord, of his trust in the very word of God. I am sure that this brave apostle knew that his time to die had not yet come, and therefore he rested easily in the midst of danger and of threat. He had been told by the Lord Jesus that he would die in old age, and his death would be by crucifixion. If you read John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, you will find that that bears out what I say. We cannot die outside the will of God. That's for sure. And therefore, whatever God has willed for us can be awaited with peace and with calm. That's a good way to be. And I trust that tonight we share that peace and calm in our souls and hearts that Peter shared on that occasion in the prison. Furthermore, Peter was able to sleep because the church was praying for him. He had the prayers of God's people in the area. Peter believed that God answered prayer. He anticipated that Herod would plan something that would be frustrated by the Lord. And he believed that God could frustrate Herod's plan. And he did. God's people meeting in the Holy Assembly of Prayer are greater in power than all the parliaments and all the thrones of this world. Did you know that? We might fear the thrones, the parliaments, and the dictatorships of this world. And mind you, many of them have been wicked, notoriously cruel, and meted out punishment upon God's people. And yet I tell you that in spite of their terror, and in spite of their evil, there's no greater power in this world than a church on its knees before God, seeking God at the throne of grace, because even God can cause the very heart of the king to be in the hand of the Almighty. And you can pray that, and we have got that glorious privilege of praying. The cause of Satan is hindered by prayer. The cause of the devil is frustrated by the church at prayer. Your prayers can frustrate the work of the enemy. Let that be known. Let it be believed. We live in a world of confusion. We live in a world of wickedness. We live in a world of ecumenical activity. We live in a world of deception on all sides. In our political world, in our religious world, they're massing together in foolishness and in deceit and in deception. But praise God, in spite of this great movement called the ecumenical movement, there's a power which can frustrate the devil and destroy the works of the enemy, and that power is prayer. You and I have the privilege of seeking the Lord and calling upon his name, because at the throne of grace, there's power. God answers prayer. Listen to the words of Matthew 18, verses 18, 19, and 20. Here's what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And when the church meets for prayer around the throne of heavenly grace, the Savior's presence is promised to that group, and he's there in the midst. Do you miss the prayer meeting? Do you attend the prayer meeting? How long is it since you have been to the prayer meeting? Do you not enjoy it? Does it mean nothing to you? My dear friend, there's no greater place, and there's no greater power, and there's no greater person into whose presence we can come, but into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a blessed privilege is ours today. It should be noted that Herod died as a result of God's people praying. He did. Imagine the king upon the throne dying as a result of God's people praying. There's power in prayer. And there's judgment in prayer. And we can call down the judgment of God on iniquity, and on sin, and on deception, and on lying deceit. You and I have the power to call down the judgment of God upon such things. Prayer may be used offensively as well as defensively. We often come to God in prayer when we want a cause defended, to defend our liberties, to defend our rights, to defend our beliefs, to defend our way of life. We see the threat and we come to God and we cry to him to defend us. But friend, we can come to God and cry to him on the offensive as well, taking the offensive against the enemy and pleading for God to intervene and to rout the enemy. Because Herod died as a result of God's people praying. I think that I must also say that Peter slept in the midst of danger because he knew he was going to heaven when he died. That might seem an awful simple thing to say, but it's true. He slept in the midst of danger knowing he was going to heaven when he died. Death holds no fear for the converted man or the converted woman. Why should the door through which one goes to glory be feared and be dreaded? Does the Bible not say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Having set forth the grace of God in Peter in this terrible situation, I want us to see here in this story, as I said at the outset, the careless state of the careless sinner. And may the Lord be pleased to bless us tonight with understanding his truth. We have here the sleeping prisoner. And then we have the awakening prisoner. Let us think of these two things tonight. The sleeping prisoner. How did Peter sleep? We're told here the state of every unsaved sinner. That's declared for us in this story. Because Peter was chained. And here we have the state of every unsaved sinner. He is chained. Chained. He is securely held by two chains and surrounded by four soldiers, according to verse 6 of this chapter. Sinners foolishly entertain the notion that they may quit sin at any time. Peter could have entertained the notion that he could have left the prison at any time. Physically speaking and humanly speaking, that was totally impossible. He couldn't. He couldn't. He was held by chains. He was guarded by soldiers. He was in the inner prison. And his feet were fast in the stocks. And isn't it foolish tonight to think that you, a sinner, bound and fettered by sin's galling chains, can, when you take the notion, be delivered and leave your sin? You can't. It is when God's Spirit is dealing and striving with you, and when God in mercy is pleading and calling you, that's when to come. And tonight, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Turn not away. Seek him while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, to our God, because he will abundantly pardon. Men feel that they have the ability to overthrow the power of sin in their lives. Young people like the prodigal son, they want to leave home, go out into the world, have a jolly time as they think, serve sin, serve its pleasures, enjoy its offers. But you know, the prodigal son soon learned that there was a chain that was around him that he could not break. And it was only when he came to himself and God started to deal with him that he was given the grace to repent and to return home and to find his father's forgiveness. I wonder where you stand tonight in the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner, I tell you, you're condemned. And the execution of the sentence has already begun in your life. Day by day and minute by minute, you draw nearer to the moment when the sentence shall fall and you shall be ushered away into everlasting damnation, into outer darkness, into hell forevermore. Why? Because you're condemned already. And already you're on your way to hell. And that's why you need to be saved. You need a life-changing experience of Christ in your life. Have you had that? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Every breath takes you one step closer to the trap door, as it were, into eternity, when you shall be overwhelmed with the wrath of a sin-hating God. That's the danger you're in. You're condemned already. This sleeping prisoner was chained. And there are many sleeping prisoners to sin tonight, chained by sin. It's time to awake, isn't it? It's time to have an eye-opening experience and to gaze fully on the Lamb of God, who alone can break the power of cancelled sin and set the prisoner free. This prisoner was not only chained, but he was condemned. He was condemned. He was condemned, and he was careless. You note those three things. This sleeping prisoner was chained, condemned, and careless. Am I addressing someone tonight? And those words can sum up your life, spiritually speaking. What Peter did here physically, sinners are doing spiritually. They are indifferent to the dangers they're in, and they're indifferent to the danger of approaching doom. That careless attitude will continue, and the sinner shall awaken only to discover himself in hell unless God awakens him and delivers him from the wrath to come. Oh, sinner, why will you die? Look away to Christ. The sleeping prisoner. He's chained, condemned, and careless. That's Peter physically speaking in this portion of Scripture. But then we have the awakened sinner, or the awakened prisoner. The awakening of Peter demonstrates the wonderful way God moves in grace to save the likes of you and me. I'm glad salvation is of the Lord. The awakening came from heaven, you'll notice in verse 7. It came from, the verse tells us that an angel of the Lord came to Peter's rescue. Christ is God's angel, God's messenger from heaven. He is God's redeemer from heaven, who has come to the rescue of sleeping prisoners in the slumber of death, to deliver us out of the dungeon and to bring us into newness of life and unto salvation. How did Peter come to be delivered and awakened? This awakening came from heaven. Does not the Bible tell us the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost? Salvation is of the Lord. And here is the most vital of truths. It is the first truth that the sinner must learn if he's going to be saved. And until this truth is believed, the sinner will continue to look for salvation from any and every other quarter but from Christ. You must recognize that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that you're one of those sinners he came to save, and there's no other way. Any such awakening can only come from heaven. By the touch of God's Son, the Savior who died for our sins. You'll notice that light flooded the darkened cell of that jail. How men need the light. Here's a jail full of darkness. Here's a jail where men are bound and fettered and tied with chains. But thank God, light flooded that jail cell. The light that flooded Peter's cell gave him his first real view of his surroundings. And he saw the jailhouse where he was imprisoned as it really was. How little men know of their circumstances and of the jailhouse in which they live. How horrible is the pit in which they lie so carelessly. My friend, you lie in a pit of sin. How wretched are the surroundings in which sinners dwell. It would seem that the mattress of this prison house was corruption. That the pillow of this prison house was damnation. And the duvet of this prison house was wrath to the uttermost. Surely it's time to awake. And this awakening can only come when there's a flood of light from God into the soul that's darkened. When God, by the torchlight of his truth, shines it upon your heart, and upon your soul, then it's time to seek the Lord, to understand the state in which you are, and to flee from sin and from wrath, and to seek the Lord's mercy. Peter's awakening was furthermore effected by a blow to his side. The angel smote him. A blow to his side. The word smote is one that is linked to the sting of a scorpion. One of the most severe pains that man could suffer is the sting of a scorpion. The angel smote Peter on the side. How sharp is the blow that awakens sinners? What is it going to take for God to awaken you out of your sin? A painful blow that causes pain of heart, pain of soul, wakeful nights, sleeplessness, tossing and turning. Oh, what a blow. What pain stems from a broken heart over sin. Have you ever been broken on account of your sin? Have you ever felt the pain caused by sin in your life? That's the time to call upon the Lord. That's the time to seek him. There's no salvation until the sinner is awakened by a blow to his heart. That blow by the Holy Spirit convicting him, tormenting him, and bringing to bear upon him, causing him to see his need of God's glorious salvation. The Lord, the Bible tells us, is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You notice that this awakening of the sleeping prisoner was followed by instructions given to him. And God awakens us. And through the preaching of the gospel, and the reading of Scripture, God gives the awakened sinner instructions and tells him what to do. And he's not left in the darkness, because the way of light shines upon his path. And when God awakens the sinner and follows that awakening by giving him instructions, by pointing him to the cross, you better follow the Lord. Follow those instructions. Take him at his word. How teachable is the awakened soul? Remember the Philippian jailer? That jailer was as hard and as callous as any man could be. And yet when the earthquake occurred at Philippi, that jailer was awakened out of his sleep. He was awakened to see his need. And he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul told him, he received instructions. He was given to know by the word preached to him what to do, and he obeyed it. And that night, the jailer was saved. His wife was saved. His family were saved. And household salvation was experienced. And there was great joy in Philippi as that man and his family came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, what joy could be in Six Mile Cross. A man and his wife and his family coming to know the Savior. Let us follow the Word of God. Take Christ at his word and trust him. Notice the instructions were, "Rise up quickly." Verse 8. "Rise up quickly." Upon Peter being given these instructions, his chains fell off, we are told. Here is grace at work. Here is the mighty power of God at work. With the effectual call of God in the gospel, there goes forth that enabling power. Sin-defeating power, and chain-breaking power, as it was in Peter's case, because his chains fell off. And we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, "And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto them, unto the man who had the palsied hand, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as the other." Thank God for this great power of the gospel, the word of God. Here's a man, Jesus met him in Mark chapter 3, and he followed the instructions of the Savior, and he stretched forth his hand. And he was made whole. Will you take Christ at his word tonight, and as it were, reach forth your hand and take Christ, take hold of him. He'll make you whole. Not only was he told to rise up quickly, but he was told to get dressed, to gird himself, to get dressed, fit yourself for the journey that you're about to undertake. You're leaving this prison house. You're going on a journey, and you need to get dressed and put on the appropriate clothing. I tell you, salvation's only the start, isn't it? It's the beginning of a journey for the believer, and we're to get dressed. Dress ourselves in the Word of God, in the righteousness of Christ, in the garments of perfection, dressing ourselves in the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand in the evil day. Are you dressed for battle? Are you dressed to serve Christ tonight? What robes the awakened sinner has to put on? What clothing he is enriched with? How ornamented he becomes? What glorious garments has been provided for the children of God? I will greatly rejoice, said Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. What a picture of the provisions made for the child of God in salvation. You're to enjoy that. That's your portion. Peter was told to rise up quickly. He was told to gird himself, to get dressed. And then he was told to follow me. The angel said, follow me. And I believe this angel was none other than Jesus Christ, who had spoken to Peter in John chapter 21 and told him to feed his sheep and to feed his lambs and explained to him by what death he should die. He's now come down into the prison to where Peter was. And just as he said to Peter on that previous occasion, follow thou me, he's repeating it here, follow me. And that's what Christ wants his people to do, follow him. Don't follow the cunningly devised fables of men. Don't follow the false religions of this world. Don't follow the ecumenical cloud of today. But follow the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. If you walk any other way, you'll be lost. Jesus said, I am the truth. If you believe any other thing, you'll be confused. He says, I am the life. If you live for any other life, you'll die. And in hell, you'll lift up your eyes in torment. Follow me, says Jesus. Follow me. Are you following him tonight? The angel leads Peter to liberty. Stage by stage, his freedom is gained. And such is the journey of the believer. Oh, he's instantly delivered from the power of sin. His chains are broken, but gradually he learns more about his Savior. And the joy of salvation and all that in Jesus is stored for him. And day by day he grows in grace as he feeds upon the bread of life. He is progressively delivered from the power and the chains that bound him. Yes, he was delivered instantly, but more and more, he was delivered further and further away from the place of bondage. That'll be your experience if you come to Christ tonight. There is escape from the dungeon of sin. There's a way out for you tonight. And that way is Christ. Come to him now. Put your trust in him. And follow him. Remember Bartimaeus. It was told that after Bartimaeus came to look upon Christ and to trust him, that he followed Jesus in the way. That's what God wants us to do.